The exhibit Abraham Lincoln in McLean County highlights Lincoln's wide and deep local connections and shows us that it was right here that Lincoln's role as a leader and moral voice developed. To create such an impactful exhibit, several disciplines came together at the McLean County Museum of History to bring this history to life. Bill Kemp, museum librarian, says the time that Lincoln spent locally included doing work that would forever impact the rest of the country.
Bloomington is a primary stage for Lincoln's evolution as a moral leader in the movement to halt the extension of slavery. So beginning in 1854 and ending with his election in 1860, Lincoln and his arch nemesis, Stephen Douglas, the senator from Illinois, are butting heads over the issue of extending slavery into free northern territories. And Bloomington is a center for that debate. In 1854, Lincoln gives important political speeches here, as does Douglas, the same in 1856 and in 1858, and of course the campaign in 1860. So we look at Lincoln in the perspective of slavery and race and this very important movement in the 1850s to halt the expansion of slavery, which led to the Republican Party, because obviously Lincoln was not originally a Republican, he was a Whig, but this threat to expand slavery leads to the dissolution of the Whig Party and the creation of the Republican Party, and Lincoln is in the forefront of that movement, and of course the Republican Party is established here in Bloomington, the Illinois Republican Party. The second thing we do that's relatively new is examine recollections and reminiscences. Upon Lincoln's death, his assassination, people began to submit stories of Lincoln in the Pantograph and other local newspapers, or write their own memoirs. And Michael Burlingame, one of the leading Lincoln scholars in the country, has used recollections and reminiscences to kind of fill the gaps to provide a more complete portrait of Lincoln as a man and a political leader. So we take time to really look at some of the stories that local folk told about Lincoln to kind of paint a more three-dimensional picture of the man. Perhaps my favorite part of the exhibit would be the part we're standing right next to, is the real or not real. And this really speaks to the position or role Lincoln has had in American society, almost like a Catholic saint. So people collected, upon his assassination, all sorts of relics or remnants of his life. And over the years, because we're the second oldest county historical society in the state, we've received some of this material, a shard or splinter of wood from a rail said to be split by Lincoln.
How do you prove something like that?
Well, that's what we get at the exhibit. We pose the question, is this real? It's obviously physically a real object, but is the realness connected to Lincoln or not? And we try to address that. In the museum field, that's called provenance, to determine the history of an object, who used it, when they used it, and how did they use it. So we're trying to determine the provenance of some of these more kind of odd Lincoln relics, if you will. Some of them, we believe, are connected to Lincoln. Some of them written in Lincoln's own hand. So you will see the visitor scraps of paper or notes written in Lincoln's own hand that are held in our own collections. But some of the things we have displayed in our real or not real are probably not connected to Lincoln, and we explain why we think that. Each case is different, but you have to look at the story that the family told about how they came upon this object, and does it match the real world? So in one case, we have a fragment of, said to be the fragment of Abraham Lincoln's funeral car that was being restored in Michigan in a railroad shed, and the funeral car burns, and a family member grabs a scrap or a remnant from the burned rail car. But the facts of the family and who was living where at the time just don't match the story that they told.
So basically, you're not just a historian, you're a detective.
All people interested in history are also detectives, because you have to examine and explore and investigate and parse the past.
Highlighting the past through the prism of technology is Tori Morey's job. She's the curator of digital humanities at the McLean County Museum of History. The museum uses technology to dive deeper into Lincoln's life in McLean County.
So we have an opportunity for people to interact with Lincoln's journey on the 8th Judicial Circuit. So they can drag their finger along a timeline and see how the circuit changed over time, see what Lincoln's experiences were like on the circuit, who he met. And then the second part to that piece is that you can actually see 10 places within McLean County and Bloomington Normal where he would have passed through or stayed or visited while he was here. Visually, you get to interact with a map and touch these points. So it's a different way to learn the material.
So it's kind of like Google Maps from the 19th century.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, here we are standing in front of a part of the exhibit that deals with Lincoln's lost speech. But it says here the lost speech is not lost?
No. Yeah, the lost speech is kind of a misnomer. People think that because we don't have a full transcript of the speech that it's lost to time, that we don't know what was said. But in fact, we actually have a pretty good idea of what was said. And we know that because of a number of sources. And so in an interactive we have in this space, we ask people to identify those sources that would have existed in the 1850s that have told historians what we know about the lost speech. So you identify those sources and then you get to put together the pieces of the puzzle like a historian would to know what was said.
So do you have an app by any chance with this exhibit?
We do. Another way that we're using digital technology is to take McLean County history out of the museum beyond our walls and allow people to explore things on their own using our mobile app. It's kind of a map-based app, so we pinpoint places around the county where you can go see that places that Lincoln would have visited, and it's a map that we're going to be adding to. So we have two layers that go with the first exhibit we opened, Making a Home. We have one layer that goes with this exhibit that's actually an audio tour, so it's a narrated tour of Bloomington Normal. And then we'll be adding to it as we open exhibits in the future. You can visit mchistory.org/app or search for McLean County History in the App Store. So another interactive we have in the gallery space here is an annotated autobiography. Jesse Fell asked Abraham Lincoln to write a brief autobiographical sketch in 1859, and it's mounted here on the wall and you can read it, but the digital technology we have here allows us to actually annotate it. So you can touch highlighted words. And so when he talks about his father, for example, you can touch the word and you can learn more about who his father was and what their relationship was like. He talks about reading, writing, and ciphering. And so what is ciphering? You can open up a little pin that will show you exactly what that means.
I wish we could stop calling it arithmetic and go back to ciphering, because that's a great word.
You can also see the autobiography in a typed version.
Because his handwriting is, well, you know, there might be some kids who don't know cursive who wouldn't be able to read his handwriting.
Exactly. So we want to make it accessible to everyone, and you can easily flip back and forth, so you can compare the handwritten to the typed version rather easily.
Did you learn anything new about Lincoln as you were putting this together?
Yes, the exhibit is special because we're telling the local story. I mean, that's what we do best, is tell the local story. And we do have an important piece of Lincoln history. So I definitely learned a lot. And I think that a lot of people will.
There's also plenty of old-fashioned hands-on interactives as well. Susan Hartzell, the curator of collections and exhibits, points out an interactive installation with a slate and quills.
In the time period of Lincoln, people weren't using computers, they didn't have pencils, they didn't have ink pens, they used feather quills and nib pens. So we wanted to give visitors the chance to see if they could do that. So we have an interactive here where we've got the quill pens and we've got the nib pens, and we don't have actual ink. Oh. But we have water that they can use and a special surface so they can actually write on it and see if they're any good at it.
Oh, that is so cool.
Would you like to try it?
Yeah, I'll try it. Me and my terrible handwriting will now go. That's fun. I think kids will find that rather interesting to actually learn how people in the 19th century.
And then we actually have samples of letters written by Lincoln, so if they decide that they want to copy one, they could copy his handwriting. His handwriting, because, of course, they don't teach cursive in school anymore.
Yes. There's a lot of great objects in this exhibit, and curating them must have been a blast.
It was very fun, especially when you consider the number of objects that people have collected over the years because they have this desire to connect themselves to Lincoln.
Right over here on the wall, we have special mourning ribbons that people wore after Lincoln was assassinated, which is something lost to us. We don't wear mourning ribbons anymore.
These are some of the best objects that we have in our collection associated with Lincoln. And while they're not really so associated directly to Lincoln, they tell the story of how people mourned Lincoln after his assassination. And they're very interesting and beautiful pieces.
Do you have any sort of everyday setups that we could learn about the everyday Lincoln?
Absolutely. When Lincoln was traveling the 8th Judicial Circuit, he was away from home. So he's a businessman, he's a lawyer, and he has paperwork and letter and documents that he has to write while he's away from home, out of town. So like other lawyers on the circuit, he would hang out at other lawyers' offices and do this work. And there were two places where he spent a lot of time. One was the David Davis office, which was right around the corner from the courthouse. He would frequently go there and work on his paperwork. And we're really excited because members of the Davis family have loaned us David Davis's desk. Ooh. That was actually in his office in Bloomington during that time period.
Let's look at that.
So, and we've set it up with lots of other items that were very typical of that time period so that people could see, what would an office, a lawyer's office, look like during that time period.
Well, there's some law books.
We have law books, we have quill pens, we have no electricity, so they're using candlelight.
Mm-hmm.
They're writing with quill pens. You might notice that there's a washstand in the corner. There was no running water, so they would have freshened up using the washstand. And it just kind of gives you a little picture of what an office might have been like.
I like the extra little touch of the vest that is on the back of the chair.
Of the time period, yeah. And if you've read about Lincoln and how he acted in his own office, it was very laid-back, relaxed atmosphere, and I think that's one of the other things we're trying to accomplish here. But another place that Lincoln might have settled in to work on his paperwork was across the street from the courthouse in the Kersey Fell office. Now, everybody knows who Jesse Fell is, the founder of Normal and one of Lincoln's best friends. But right across the street, his brother had a law office. And so Lincoln would frequently go across the street there.
Oh, and can we take up? Do you have something from that?
Yes.
Do you have the actual desk?
And we have
desk?
The Kersey Fell's desk, which Lincoln would have sat at and done paperwork and documents. And one of the exciting things about this desk is the legend that Jesse Fell caught Lincoln as he was coming out of the courthouse and was telling him how he had been out east and people wanted to know, this was after the Lincoln-Douglas debates, more about Lincoln, who so well stood up to the little giant during that election. And so he convinced him to write his autobiography, and the story is that he took him across the street to his brother's office and sat him down and told him to get started on it.
And so it may well have been written at this very desk that we're looking at.
We don't know for sure, but we do know that this was the desk that he would have sat at one point in time while he was visiting with Jesse Fell in Kersey's office. These are two really big objects that are absolutely marvelous, and you walk into this space and the presence of them is just really overwhelming.
That's Susan Hartzold, Tori Morey, and Bill Kemp from the McLean County Museum of History in Bloomington. I'm Laura Kennedy.